People often return from eating in places like Europe with this revelation. Waiting tables is a profession, a skilled one, and a proud one. It's not the fill-in while you hunt for the real job. Restaurant reviewer Pascal Ledraulec learned this firsthand.
Elle avait sous sa toque de martre, sur la butte Montmartre, un petit air innocent.
Until the age of 7, I thought my father was a movie star. He left the house every day wearing a tuxedo and whistling Yves Montand, and he returned every night with pockets full of money. Edmond Louis Ledraulec was a waiter, not the kind who keeps a screenplay in his sock drawer, but a career waiter, right down to his collection of satin cummerbunds. Eddie, as he came to be known after moving to America, lived to seduce diners with his expertise and tableside charm. From the early 1960s through the late 1990s, he worked in some of Los Angeles's most celebrated dining rooms, Scandia, the Saloon, the Ambassador Hotel. Each morning before school, he would regale my sister and I with tales from his shift while sipping strong coffee out of a bowl. The chef was so angry, he flung a bread roll at Mario. The hostess is giving Jean-Louis all the best tables. C'est louche. The paparazzi were out in full force last night. We sat wrapped, spoonfuls of cream of wheat suspended mid-air. While he spoke, my mother would brush his tuxedo jacket, which smelled of shrimp scampi, cigarettes, and the burnt wood and bergamot of his cologne. She'd scatter the contents of its pockets on the table. Champagne corks, breath mints, the occasional escargot shell for his girls, and of course, cash. He's a keen storyteller, my father, and at work, he enthralled diners with stories of his childhood. In 1941, when he was barely 6, Edmond and his parents fled their native, then-occupied Brittany and hid out for over a year on the tiny island of Porquerolles in Provence, where food was scarce. I've often wondered if his career choice had something to do with silencing that hunger. At 16, now living with his parents in Nice, Edmond took a summer job as garçon de café at a beachside terrace. Instead of going back to school, as his parents wished, he signed up for fine dining training at a 5-star hotel in Evian. He never looked back. In his early 20s, he heard there was work at the Swank Beaver Club at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel in Montreal and set sail across the Atlantic in 1960. There, he met my mother, Lucette, also fresh off the boat from France. She, too, had known hunger. He took her out for a steak dinner, but he was so smitten he couldn't eat. Lucette directed her fork at his T-bone. May I? They were married 6 months later. It was a potluck wedding. Every night, Edmond would bring his new bride treats from the Beaver Club, a ripe and runny camembert swiped from the cheese cart, an unfinished bottle of Chateauneuf du Pape. He presented each item with the flourish she deserved. Edmond and Lucette dreamed of sunny days, and so they bought an old Chevrolet and made their way to Route 66, which they followed until it ran into the Pacific Ocean in Santa Monica, California. They found an apartment on 9th Street the day they arrived. My father went out for a smoke. He poked his head inside a neighborhood restaurant called the San Francisco and was hired on the spot. Ultimately, a restaurant where waiters wore shorts was not a good fit for Eddie, and he quickly found work at Frascati's in Beverly Hills. And so it went for 50 years, changing jobs almost as often as he changed shirts. Finding work was never a problem. The network of French expat waiters was thick. Keeping jobs was another story. Eddie had little patience for those who didn't share his passion for the craft, who didn't see waitering as an art. A chef once fired him for refusing to deliver a steak he deemed overcooked. The owner hired him right back. Of course, there were other situations that sent my father onto the next gig. Yet, there were places where he stayed put, and despite the odd hours, my father was a family man. During the Scandia years, we would go camping at Leo Carrillo State Park near Malibu. Eddie couldn't afford to take any time off, so he would swim and hike with us by day, then drive to work in the afternoon. He'd primp in the campground showers and emerge in his Prussian blue tux with a golden emblem on his heart. The first thing I'd see when I'd unzip the tent flap in the morning was that showy blue jacket hanging from the high branch of a sycamore. No one was surprised when I became a food writer and eventually the restaurant critic at the Daily News in 2001. By then, my father's health had declined, and he wasn't able to travel much to the East Coast. Still, I felt him there with me, night after night, condemning a mere fish soup that dared call itself bouillabaisse, or praising the bartender who had bothered to float a lemon zest in my kir. On his last visit to New York, he accompanied me on a review of Thomas Keller's Per Se. The vaunted service was flawless. I wanted so badly to tell our designer-clad waiter that he was in the presence of a real pro. But by then, long retired, my father was ready to be fawned over. And that was gift enough.
Pascal Ledraulec's article, The Professional, appeared in Savoir magazine.